Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to the Lifebook Member Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Career Month, loving Career Month, and I am so excited to speak with today's guest. He's a personal friend. He's a friend of the Butcher family. We're going to have some great stories, but he's also a super, super talented individual. He's a musician's musician. Truly, I consider one of the greatest guitar players walking the planet today. Dave Urich is on the line. How you doing, Dave?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm great, man. Thank you so much for joining us. And of course, Lifebook alumni. How could I forget? You went through Lifebook a long time ago, didn't you, Dave?
Yeah, I think I probably did it right in the earliest stages there and absolutely love it.
That's so cool, man. And yeah, we have so many stories too, and we're going to get into a couple in a little bit here. But for the audience, can you first give a little background on your incredible guitar playing history, when you got started, that sort of thing?
I started when I was 10 or 11 years old, which, doing the math, I'm in my 50s now, so probably about 40 years. A little about my history. I learned early on, or at least in my head, I believe, that I wanted to do something that I was passionate about, so I did the opposite. I put all of my eggs in one basket and went to music school. I knew I wanted to play guitar, so I didn't want to do anything else. So I went and got my degree in guitar. And began teaching at a number of universities. Had a whole, you know, where to start with this, but I've been involved in multiple different facets of the industry, from doing music for movies to playing on jingles and session work, you know, other kind of stuff. So my history, we could talk about live bands, we could talk about...
You've done it all, man. You've truly done it all. Yeah, man. And I got to say, I love seeing you perform. You love what you do. You're so super passionate, man. You're like Stevie Wonder up there. You know when you watch Stevie Wonder play and he gets into that
right. That
state? I see that in you. So I already have questions and I already want to go off on tangents. The first thing you said, you got your degree in guitar. What do you think about this general idea? And it really seems to take shape in the music world. The kind of idea of two different paths, the kind of traditional, like, go get your degree, do the education route path, or the forging it yourself, more maybe self-taught, non-traditional course. Do you have any insight onto that as to which you think is better? Is it more about which you're better suited for, like wired for? What do you think about that?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I'm a believer in education as an example, but I don't think that they're an either or per se. It's not like they're taking a path towards education. There's a lot of people in the music industry, as an example, that are sort of against education, that they believe that, you know, if you learn traditional musical theory and scales and these kind of things, that it somehow takes the edge off your creativity. Mm. And I'm not that kind of person. I don't believe that.
Interesting.
I believe that you can learn from anyone. And I believe that, you know, somebody is loved, but they also have to culture their own passion too. So what, in other words, maybe it's an individual person basis where a person could say, I'm going to go to this college like I did. And I went and got my degree in jazz. So it wasn't because I liked jazz per se. It was just that they weren't getting degrees in rock and roll. So
everything
I did was geared towards kind of converting all this information, which in the case of classical, I went to the American Conservatory of Music, but I started as a classical major. So here I was studying music, you know, which is, you know, some people that were dead for centuries in many cases. And I was trying to apply these kinds of ideas and concepts. Like, how can that help me today? So
that's
to
so
me,
cool.
In my opinion, it's both. I would say that there's the framing of the question of, like, a lot of persons thinking that, you know, you have to go to a college or you don't have to go to college. Just to a person like me, college opened up tons of doors. And at the same time, I never felt like playing hard rock or heavy metal was in any way anything other than cool and elite.
That's
too.
So cool, though. Because like you said, if they're not giving a class in rock and roll, a lot of people, that means, you know, you don't take a class. I think that there's a level of open-mindedness and a level of humbleness, you know, that you just didn't say, like, that's lame, man. I'm not going to learn jazz. So, but I like that.
Right.
I like that, man.
And it's funny for me, and because I graduated when I was 22, and I started teaching. I was 21 or 22, whatever it is. And then I started teaching at the school. They hired me. So it's really a strange story. Like, I'm the only person, or the first person that I know of, that was teaching rock at a conservatory. So a conservatory is like to a music school, like what, you know, the Navy SEALs are to the Navy. That was kind of more of an elite music program. And so for me, as like a heavy metal bass guy, I grew up in rock and hard rock and heavy metal, you know, getting a degree in jazz was, you know, that was like not normal.
Right.
And so they hired me, which I thought was really strange, actually.
That's
I didn't
cool,
even
man.
Want to be a teacher. So me being, I wanted to just play rock music and do that. So, you know, it is an interesting path that eventually came out for me. And
yeah,
so
no kidding.
I would tell people, anybody in music, the thing that they should look forward to is always keep your eyes open, you know? When one day you think, you know, teaching or education might not be a field that you're interested in, but I love teaching. But I wouldn't be happy if I was just a music teacher. I play because I want to play. I'm passionate about playing. I play. I still listen to music and go, wow, that's cool. And I stop and rewind. You know what I mean?
That's cool.
So I rewind it like a child. I feel like I'm like a child still trying to figure out what he wants to be when he grows up, you know? So the music part of my life is, you know, is education and, you know, the real world
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, the performance,
know?
The art. I love it, man. I absolutely love that. Let me ask you this. I like to ask this of people who are high level in any field, whether it's a poker player I'm talking to or a Harvard doctor or an electric guitarist. What attributes or character traits or strategies have allowed you to master your craft at such a high level? Anyone can pick up a guitar, but you stuck with it. You did something special. What do you attribute that to?
Well, I honestly, it's just good old fashioned love, you know. Like, to me, you got to love what you want to do. There isn't an attribute in the world that you can find that's going to stick through the tough times other than love, you know. Like a lot of people think they know the right answer to the world. Like, I got the answer to the universe, right? Well, in my opinion, I don't even know the right question. I just know that if the answer doesn't include love, it's probably not the right question, and it's definitely not the right answer, because it's love. You got to love what you're doing. If you don't love what you're doing, you can't convince people that they should start to enjoy it in some level. But love in itself, and I don't mean just love, like there's lots of different kinds of love. I love my mom. I love my fiance. I love, you know, the Chicago Bears, or I love the Blackhawks, or
right.
You know, some sport. But I love them all in completely different ways. So for me, I love guitar. My relationship with guitar is almost identical to like a human, like in the sense that it converses with me. I, you know, actually my guitar, a lot of guitar players have named their guitars, you know?
Right.
So my two main guitars, I named them after my dogs. And, so I've got, I have a dog named, Roxanne and a dog named Jasmine. They, unfortunately, they're not still here with us, but, so my one guitar is named Rock for Roxanne, and my other guitar is named Jazz.
Oh my God, that's great! That's
so
great.
I've named them Rock and Jazz. So like to me, they're like you know, like with a dog, they look at you and they'll take a bullet for you. Well, my guitars are like that to me. Now that might seem like a completely crazy thing to another person, but my guitars are more honest to me than any human I've ever met. They do exactly the same thing I do. So if I have a flaw in myself, that comes out on the guitar.
Wow.
If there's something like anger in me and I'm starting to act like an idiot in life to a person or something like that, it shows up in my guitar playing. And if I'm really passionate and in love with something or somebody, it shows up in my guitar playing. So I've learned to kind of harness that in some strange kind of hippy-dippy way, and that's really what it's all about, you know, for me.
God,
so it's a relationship.
It.
It's love. It's passion. You know, it's just passion. You just have to have that. You know, when somebody's like late at night and they're going, should I be doing this? But for me, it's not even work. If I had all the money in the world, I would just be doing the same thing, but just I'd have nicer countertops, you know?
I love it, man. That's how you know you found your passion.
You know, so.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I love that. And I want to dig into that finding your passion in a little bit here. But first, I want to talk about kind of what you just said, which is music and art. I want to say art specifically is kind of a currency for all sorts of different energy and emotion, but definitely love and goodness, right? Using art as a force for good is something we've talked about on this podcast before. I've observed something in young people, and I know you're going to resonate with this, Dave, especially with rock and roll. You know, I found that troubled individuals, especially troubled young people, they crave something to sink all their time, energy, and focus into. They need something. They're absolutely dying for it. Whether it's if it's skateboarding, electric guitar, or whatever. I often see kids, they're in this state of craziness and like, you know, aimlessness and kind of depression. And if you see them find that one thing, whatever it is, it's like a life raft to them. Has that been the case with you? Have you observed that? How important do you think that is to some people?
Oh, it is huge. I'm so glad, you know, you mentioned that, Jordan, because like I could talk on this topic from now until, you know, until the Cubs win another series. But in part because you're completely correct. You know, first off, you know, to corroborate exactly what you're saying, you know, can art and passion be a force for good? Absolutely, and it should be. And unfortunately, things that are associated to this industry, like the music industry itself, when somebody would say, you know, fame or fortune or, you know, drugs or
sex,
you know,
drugs, and rock and roll, right?
Yeah, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. They can also be used for a force that's destructive to you, you know?
True.
And like, and point out, you know, character issues or flaws within somebody. But to the topic, which is good, absolutely, when you see a young person, a lot of times, like, you know, if you're not the captain of the football team for a guy, or if you're not the smartest kid in science class, or the one who knows how to play a video game a certain way, to what can you associate? Music has way more impact than the principal of high school. If a teacher in high school says, I don't want you to start doing something, but yet somebody in pop culture, like a musician, says you should do certain things.
Who's going to win out?
More impact, you know?
100%.
So, you know, so of course they do. And the beautiful thing about music, in my opinion, is people get to know their music and art and just in general, you know, get to know themselves through their art, through the things that they love. And my art is one of those, you know? Like one of my buddies who I love in the music industry says, you know it's not your music until your parents don't like it. Now you know it's your music.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean? If your parents aren't sufficiently pissed enough or agitated enough to go, oh, no, I don't like this, then it's probably not your music yet. So that's probably like when punk came in, people didn't like it. You know, their parents didn't like it. Rock, hard rock came in, well, they didn't like it. Well, if you look back, jazz, when it started, that was associated with a different time, including Prohibition. Well, people before that didn't like it.
Yeah.
And today, with popular culture, it's definitely tied in too. So a force for good is really important because lying directly next to the force for good, honestly, is potentially things that can be destructive. And I would give my life to help people, you know, with music. And I've done that with teaching too. And I can't tell you, Jordan, how many times, like as an educator, as a teacher, by the way, and giving guitar lessons, that people have told me, you know, intimate details in life and help them through a struggle. And
right.
It's because of music.
100%, you know? Man. You're dead on. And I think what you said there, it's going to alter the way I speak about this subject, because what you said was, this kind of artistic expression or just artistic consumption of someone else's expression that you resonate with, that can actually help you find your identity. It's not that it somehow substitutes or wishes away that aimlessness that I talked about. No,
right.
it actually helps them discover it. It's the panacea to it. It's the cure. It's the antidote, not some sort of substitute or fix, you know?
Correct. You hit it right on. Exactly. So somebody who says, like, as an example, a guitar player learning to improvise, that person might think, oh my God, this is complex. My guitar heroes or whoever this band guys are, they're plugged into the oracle of genius. And then they all of a sudden start becoming to improvise. And they realize that the same source of genius is available to them as is available to the people that they admire and respect.
Yes.
The
That's
same
true.
Source, it's love, passion, it's coolness. It's all wrapped up. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
To me it is anyway.
Yeah, you're right. And I think we all understand this on the level of, like, you know, the troubled, you know, at-risk gang youth learning to pick up the boxing gloves, and that teaches them discipline and control and a good outlet. We all understand that. But I think it's actually universal, which is, like, you know, things like emotional issues and connectivity and, you know, personality issues. These are the things that art can really, really help.
Unbelievably clear, correct there. Yes, exactly. It's, and by the way, it's just in keeping things in proportion, you know. in life, we do need to eat. You need, you know, someone's got to pay the bills, and there's some sort of mundane nature to, you know, filling out, you know, or whatever, paying your electric bill or doing these other things, or cutting the lawn. But on the other side of the coin, if you don't have something in your life which is creative as a force that you can create something that didn't exist before, yeah, you feel like a creator. It's a genesis. I call it the genesis creation theory in all of us, which basically is like when I'm writing a song or something, I'm being creative, and I'm, or even for that matter, just improvising over a set of chord changes. What I'm doing in that moment has never happened before, and it never existed in the universe identically to that until I do it.
Totally.
Then, but and it's just this completion of stuff that is like, for me, is the source of life.
Totally. I think it's very healthy.
Without having that, you know? So, you know, you hit it right on. And I think when, especially when you say for young people, a source of a force for good and words of that nature, that is life. And I think especially for people that are in positions like if you just say a troubled youth somewhere, they can find themselves in music. Wow. Holy cow. Take a look at the way a young person, say, dresses, or the way they act, or the way they respond, or the way they're it's constantly an imitation of culture, and the culture of finding themselves.
Yes.
And so, you know,
it's like a microcosm of that.
Years old is the same person they were at 18. No, of course we find out who we are, you know.
Right. As we all evolve and then individually evolve. You're absolutely right, man. I think this would be a good a time as any to talk about how the Lifebook members, they like hearing about the Butcher family. They like hearing about my dad. You've been a part of our lives for a long time, man. I mean, you taught me how to ride a bike. I don't know if you remember that, but you were on the front driveway with me, teaching me how to take off the training wheels. And the story I wanted to tell today specifically was, you have the same birthday as Jade, my little sister, who the Lifebook members all know, two of the most raw, talent-filled artists born on the same day. And if you look at the day in the birthday book, it's about artistic expression, which is so funny. Man, you were hoping that she would be born on that day, and then she was. And then do you remember you wrote a beautiful song for my family all about how you were so honored?
I did. Remember the song? In fact, I just peeled that out and got a copy of it from quite a long time ago.
It's actually choking me up thinking about it right now, man. It was a beautiful song, and it was so wonderful, and you didn't have to do that, or you could have just performed it once, but you went and recorded it, and we had that song, we had that CD in our car for years, probably still there, and in our, you know, multi-disc player or whatever it was back then, and we would just listen to that, man. That was so meaningful. That is the kind of thing that I will remember and we will remember for the rest of our lives. And for you, what did it take? Just some effort and some love, and you changed the world for the better. I mean, that was an incredible moment, Dave.
Well, I thank you for that. And it's just Jordan, it's such a cool thing to hear a conversation with you, because to be truthful, I remember so many things about, you know, back, you know, riding. I don't remember the specificity of riding the bike or whatever. I do remember a ton of things. I remember, I could go on and on and on, but that is just so heartwarming to me to hear stories like that. With respect to the song for Jade, I was just like, and, you know, at some point in time, you know, I became aware of, you know, months before Missy, you know, gave birth, that she began pregnant. Right? So there was this like ongoing, like, when's the date going to be? I don't know. You just kind of have a feeling. I'm like, well, duh, it's going to be on my birthday, August 16th. I mean, of course I know. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not even a person who, like, I don't follow, like, you know, astrology type things all that deeply. I'm open to it as a possibility.
Right.
Except that, you know, so be it. But I just sort of knew in my head, I'm like, I'll bet you this is the way it is. You know? And sure enough, lo and behold, when it happened, I felt this kind of connection to, like, something that, like, is above my pay grade, you know? When I see things in the universe that, like, I don't understand, my first instinct is to go, well, that's above my pay grade. And then it makes me smile. It makes me happy. And then all of a sudden, what do I do when I'm smiling and happy? I play music. So that was, to me, like my response, you know.
That's great.
So I wrote a tune, you know, and that's just how it was, you know. And I think it's awesome too to hear that, you know, remember riding a bike.
You have no idea, wow. Man. We love you over here, the Butcher family. And you know what? I'm going to try to dig up that file and put it at the end of this episode, because I know the listeners are going to be like, let me hear the song. So stay tuned, listeners. I'll either put it in this episode or put it up on the Facebook group, Mind Valley Lifebook Facebook group or something. Stay tuned for that. Yeah, man. I worry though, Dave. I worry for the next generation. Honestly, I don't know if it's all due to technology or just the way society is going, but few people seem to have this one thing like you had growing up that consumed you and shaped you and made you, you know, the incredible person you are. I don't know if it was because there were just fewer options back then. I mean, you literally ask a kid, what do you want to be when they grow up? It's like, fireman, in your case, musician, doctor. There was only a couple options, right? Now I feel like
right. There
are so many options. I see these young people, you ask them, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? I don't know. Well, what are you excited about? What's your passion? I don't know. And it really worries me. I think that maybe it has to do with the observation culture. Like, you know, you can watch YouTube, you can watch someone play a video game instead of playing it yourself. And that kind of, that's what Dr. Joel Wade, a regular guest on the show, thinks, is that they're kind of like expending that. And Lion Goodman said that as well. So they're kind of expending their passion through other people. Maybe that has something to do with it. Have you seen this? Have you observed this kind of lack of drive, this difficulty of young people to find their purpose? What do you think of that? Do you have any insight?
I have seen. I know what you're talking about. In a sort of umbrella sort of way, and maybe that's just the nature of the times we're in. You know, I feel sort of like, to me, I feel like I was born in the last generation of humans on Earth that did not have internet and the associated things, you know, YouTube and social medias and everything and digital communication. You could take a picture on your phone, you can send it to somebody in Japan, it could be there and get it like quicker than, I don't know how fast it can be, you know, so our texting and it goes on and on and on. But in a general sort of way, I think that applies to young people is they're just saturated. There's no specific, like, this is what I want to do. Like, there's not really a passion in
that's
that.
A great word.
And I think
saturated.
Yeah, they're, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That was a great word you used, saturated. It's almost like they're at full capacity already.
Right. It's like the amplifier's turned up all the way. That's already at 11. You know,
totally.
If they need something, they're there. It's at 11. What do they want? Why would you do anything at all? You know,
that's a good point.
Because it's already at 11. Why would you make an investment into your mind? Well, you can already find it out on Google. Why would you even so much as do something cool and exciting? Well, there's already somebody on YouTube that's got a video out that's got more followers than you. So
good
there's
point.
Always that. You
that's
know what I'm saying? And the same thing with guitar. You know, it's just this funny non-correct view of life. It's like incorrect in my opinion, right? So suppose you want to take guitar lessons and you dream, like, you know, the generations and generations of people that I knew of all said, oh, I watched some TV show or I went to this concert and I was inspired by the Beatles or Hendrix or whoever or Van Halen, or I really, 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 really loved, for that matter, anybody. It could be Eminem, it could be, you know, Shakira. I don't care,
right.
J-Lo, it doesn't matter. What does matter is they were inspired by somebody, right? They had this inspiration. Wow, they had this moment of that I call Genesis, just
divine energy. Yes.
Right. Yeah. And then they want to do it. So, you know, artists will have it for, you know, somebody will do it for photography, or somebody might feel that way for painting or any other endeavor for that matter. You know, my mother, who was a beautician, she looked at hair and she thought, oh my God, I got to make people feel beautiful.
Totally.
And she was that way for her whole life, you know? So, but anyway, back to the point at hand, that where are you going to do that? If what you can do is that, or somebody who does it better on
that's
YouTube,
a really good,
you know,
point.
Instead of doing it myself, you know, there's already this, you know, there's this, you know, 4-year-old girl in Asia who plays better than Hendrix.
Yeah, good point.
She's got 75 million YouTube hits.
Right. That shouldn't discount your passion is what you're saying. And you're 100% right.
Correct.
On that, man.
Yeah. It doesn't make your achievements, by the way, your failures and your successes and your journey. It doesn't make it any less vivid. It doesn't make your journey any less 3D or any less, you know, like multicolored.
Yes.
There's a journey, and it's like, you know, I don't care if somebody in Japan eats a cheeseburger. If I have one here in suburban Chicago, mine tastes good too. I don't care if somebody in, you know, in another country is eating crab legs, but if I'm sitting here having a grilled cheese, I'm eating too. So that, that to me is like the problem, you know?
Good point.
That observation culture, that's like, that's what it means to me. Why would anybody do anything if there's somebody doing it better? But I don't know. I hope that just goes away, or I hope in some way, you know, leaders within each community of people and field of endeavor
get wise to that. Yeah, you're totally right. I'm with you on that, man. That's, those are some really wise words. I absolutely agree with you. And I think the comparison is a really dark part of that. So yeah, man, that's some great advice. What tips do you have for someone who's struggling to find their passion? I mean, I know this might be hard for you to answer if you knew what you wanted to do from such a young age, but do you feel blessed that you have your path and you know what it is? Do you have any advice for those who don't?
Well, yes, I do. And here's one of the things I say. First off, I don't believe in this idea that, like, I, Xavier Ick, was born with this unique ability where I have 70, you know, I have, like, you know, a million pounds of talent, and then somebody directly next to me doesn't have that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
What I think ended up happening is, like, to me, having a gift, as an example, is part of it, for sure. Like, divine universe, God intervention, it gives you this gift. But you then, as a human, also have to culture that gift. You know, no different than the old analogy of planting seeds, and then you have to culture them, you know? God gives you the seed, or the universe gives you the seed, or whatever it is, you know, and then you have to culture it like a farmer. You have to invest in yourself. You have to do it. So, like, the gift that, like, somebody can have is, like, comes from someplace. But then the thing that you have to do is culture that. So, you know, what can a young person have or become inspired by? Well, they can, you know, take even a marginal talent, to say as an example, and take it to the stars. And not everybody who's talent is the person who ends up, like, getting the most out of their ability, you know? I'm sure that there's some guy in the world who's really a great pitcher in baseball but never played in the, you know, major leagues because of any one of a number of reasons, you know? I just, in every industry, like, look at music, too, the music industry. You know, go down to Nashville, take a look at how many bars there are playing some really talented people that no one will ever hear of.
Totally. Do you think that people have lost the value or lost sight of the value of doing things just to do them? It kind of ties into what you last said about comparing whether or not something's been done. What about doing things just to do them? I heard one of my favorite podcasters talking about this, cooking your own food, cleaning your own dishes, washing your own car by hand, doing things not for any particular reason, but just to do them.
Correct. No, I agree. And that's the fun part about music. That's the beauty of it. The act of doing music, the quote-unquote process of playing music is with fun.
We're too focused on the outcome. We're too focused on what's the recording. Was the YouTube video good? Was this or that good? You're saying it was the act of doing it that's the end goal.
Right, exactly.
Love it.
It's the act of doing it, and that's where the passion comes from. Like, somebody, if somebody does, like, give you an example, that standard, you know, sex and drugs and rock and roll issue. If somebody in the music industry wants the rock and roll so that they could have sex or drugs or fame or fortune, well, pretty soon, they're going to get whatever if they get some fortune or fame or whatever. If they get some of those, well, then what brought it about in the first place will all of a sudden now be gone because they achieved what they want.
I think that's
the case
that
of somebody
happens,
who's truly artistically, you know, involved and committed and invested. The act of receiving some sort of gain or whatever, people clapping is almost irrelevant, actually. If you're just doing it because you want to do it.
Love it. Yeah, I think,
you know, like I've said many times, if I won the lottery, and I say this honestly, the one thing that would change it is I would get nicer countertops. And I say that kind of like as a joke, but I said it earlier because, like, what else would I do if I didn't have music? I don't even really, I don't know what else I got. You know what I'm saying? I got one card in my hand, you know, it's an ace, okay, but, you know, I got to play this one.
So interesting. I'm so glad that we got to reconnect here. What advice do you have for someone who's a struggling artist, man, who's someone who's found their passion, but they're having a hard time negotiating reality, you know, making ends meet, things like that?
Yeah, you know, finances, talking in that direction is always a challenge for an artist, obviously. You get these seasons in your life. What I would say is that somebody just recognize that, you know, this season might look like winter to you or whatever, but there's summer coming, you know. You got to be objective. You know, you can't just, like, it's really easy for somebody who, like, and trust me, I have personal experience with this. It is easy for somebody who lives in a creative world to feel bummed out or whatever, so about something, you know. You gave your complete 100% all to something creatively and it didn't work out. It's like, you know, being spurned in a divorce or something. It's this really difficult moment. But networking, looking at reinventing yourself, the universe wants you to be something more. So you got to just open up yourself to the universe and, you know, and bring about and challenge yourself and get and change in a direction that the universe wants you to be. So, you know, that's really what it comes down to for me. It's okay to be discouraged, but it's not okay to stay discouraged. It's okay to look at it realistically and say, well, you know, I'm bummed that this didn't work out. But the universe is telling you something. So it's really hard for creative people to realize, you know, maybe this idea I had, which I thought was going to be like the Sistine Chapel, just is not a particularly good idea. What I got to do is I got to change and evolve and I got to bring something else together in the next phase of my life. And then I think you realize, well, then what do? You go and you start doing something new, you know? Sometimes that answer comes from a place you just don't even know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that answer comes from within. But you just have to keep, you know, believing in that, you know, and love. If it feels right, it's probably right. If it feels wrong, it's probably wrong, you know? And things like money, you know, you just have to follow. And you know, it's funny because I think actually everybody knows that. Like, I don't see, like, I'll give an example in the music industry. When somebody says, you know, oh, that guy's selling out, those words are funny words to me because if somebody as a professional musician is getting paid, meaning making a mortgage payment, right, to go do something, I don't call that selling out. I call that buying in. You know what I'm saying? If somebody's, you know, so they can change it in their head to a certain extent, right? But you got to culture that little divine thing that lives in you. So if some person says, I'm playing in this like orchestra pit, it's not my music, but I'm going to do this for a while, or I'm going to play on a jingle, and I'm a songwriter, but I'm going to do something for someone else. Well, if it gives you your house payment, that's not selling out, that's buying in. Then you got to take that little piece of divinity and you got to turn it into something that is uniquely you, and you got to work and you got to keep doing it. So
I love it, man. 100%. Dave, that was great. No, you're dead on, and I'm right there with you, man. This was wonderful, Dave. This was a fantastic interview. I got one more question before we wrap it up. I just want to know what your opinion is on The Secret to Life. No, what I'm saying is for you right now, where you're at in your life, you know, you've had this wild ride, man. Your life story is really quite crazy. You've accomplished a lot. You've risen to the top of this profession. You've tried all these different things. What is life all about to you at this point? I'm sure you could have, to use the phrase that you don't like, I'm sure you could have sold out down the road. I'm sure you could have stepped on some people. I'm sure you could have probably joined some symphony orchestra somewhere. But instead, you're playing the music you love, you know, you're having so much fun out there. You got a beautiful wife waiting for you backstage right now. Is that what life is all about right now, man? The group experience, the vibe, is that what the meaning of life is to you?
Well, you know, the parts of having love in my life and people that care, that's definitely, you know, a big giant part of it. The love factor is what it's about to me. Another maybe, you know, kind of part of that very same thing is, when I put my head on my pillow at night, I got to answer just to me. You know, I don't have to answer to some other person or some other situation. So, you know, like, I don't know the answer to life other than to say that if the answer doesn't include the word love, that's it. You know, it's got to be love. I have to have passion in my life in any amount or in giant copious amounts, but I have to have passion in my life. You know,
I love that.
So that's, you know, in a nutshell, that's it for me, you know, and following my dream, following my path, including the failures, by the way, including all that, you know, every time I've messed up in my life, man, I've gotten some doozies too, boy. But I know that on the other side of this doozy of a mess up, you know, my mom passed away last year, and my mom used to say this story to me. She used to say, Dave, if you mess up, you fess up and you get up. That's how you get up. So it's like, that's, you know, that's it for me. You know, I'm not afraid of making mistakes. I made a lot of them in my life. So my big thing is I just want to live to a place that's, I live in a place that is with people that and situations that have great deals of passion. To me, then I win. That's it. You know, the guy that wins in life is the guy that uses the word love the most. That's it.
I love it, Dave. I love it, man. Wise words. I would love to have you back on the show. This was really fantastic, man. And let's get together in person, please. I would love to hang out with you.
Jordan, I would love that. In fact, thank you, Chris. It's an honor and a pleasure. And it's really cool to talk to you. I'm going to go scroll my mind. I was sitting here thinking in my head when you were phrasing questions. I'm like, you know what? God, I do remember that bike stuff now. That's really cool.
That's great, man. Now, listen, where can my listeners find you? Do you have DaveUrich.com, for instance? Where's a good place to find you?
Yeah, DaveUrich.com is, you know, my website, which, by the way, I'm going to, under renovation, I'm changing some things in my life with web stuff. I'm going to try to branch out into some online teaching,
nice.
Which is going to be kind of some videos. But I'm going to be changing some stuff there. But,
love it.
Yeah, DaveUrich.com. That's DaveUrich.com. And then, yeah.
Love it, man. Love it. Everyone check that out. Thank you so much for listening. Have an extraordinary day out there, Lifebook members.